Don't. How many steps do you think you get in a day?
50. Yeah.
50.
What are you doing?
1,000.
What? No, you're joking. That ain't.
Stop pulling my leg, Dan.
Yeah. To be honest, I didn't really expect you to ask me a question. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Monday Waffle Round 2. I'm Dave Meffam. I'm joined with Sian Wakefield and a new panellist, Sally Marshall. Sally.
Hello, Dane.
Tell us about your football background.
It's limited. I grew up watching a bit of AFL.
This is not about AFL, though.
I know. All right, let's flip to waffle. I know nothing.
Good.
Not a thing.
I mean, I know a few little like fun bits and bobs about certain people, but I don't know much.
Okay. So if you had to list out what you know, what could you give us?
Can it be like players and stuff?
Sure.
Or about the game?
Sure. It's anything waffle related.
The game is the same as AF. Like, it's football.
That is true. I didn't think of it like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
They do mark the ball and kick it.
Yeah, they mark the ball, they kick it through the polls at the end. East Perth Football Club, I know a little bit about them. I have hosted a few corporate footy events at their club. My friend's brother, Talon DeLacy, plays for Claremont. Zach Mangwaring, who we're interviewing soon, and we plugged a bit on socials last week. Sorry about that, mate. Milan Murdoch, I know him from school. I actually saw him the other day weirdly in Mecca, smelling cologne.
Good.
So
we all do it.
Do you, Dan? Do you do it? You're there smelling the cologne? Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably like my most knowledge on football.
Lovely.
Milan Murdoch smelled cologne in Mecca. Right.
That's some great knowledge there, Sally.
Well, we can...
Guys, you've stitched me up.
Track your progress as the year goes on.
Yeah. Well, actually, I do know a little bit about Hamish Brayshaw. I was doing a bit of a read.
Yeah.
And
yeah, what do you know?
Dane's looking at me. Well, I know that he missed their first game against South Freo because he had concussion, but now he's back, round two, and he got 32 disposals against the Swans. He was struggling a little bit with fitness, apparently.
That's a little bit rude. Why?
Look, I'm just telling you what I've heard.
Valid, though, after a concussion, I would say.
And he was last year's Sandover medalist.
Lovely. Good. It's all true.
That's great. All.
I think we should get onto the recaps. Thank you, Sally,
for that contribution.
That was beautiful.
You've kicked us off. Absolutely.
All right, Dane, take us away with a recap.
Okay, well, why don't we go to West Coast and South Freo.
Wooden Spooners, we were saying last week.
Well, you and Tim suggested that this might be the game of the two Wooden Spooners, potentially.
Can you confirm?
I said South Freo would be quite decent, and I was right. They won by 88 points.
Yeah.
West Coast, who looked solid in the first week, looked like they regressed a little bit. But again, I don't know if that's actually an indictment on them. I think South Freo are actually kind of good. So obviously the goal kick is there. The two Stroms kicking 5 and 4 respectively. Chase Bourne kicked 2, a lot of 2s, Paulson, Schleuth, Parker, Isaiah Winder kicked a goal, who used to play for West Coast, and some of the disposals, the usual comers for South Freo, Tom Bletchington 30, Isaiah Winder got 28, Florenko, who played for West Coast as well, got 28, Schleuth 27, so he had a pretty good game. And for the Eagles, it was not grim, but it was slim pickings. Lucassen kicked a couple of goals, Tyrell Duar, who is at West Coast, kicked a couple, Jai Cully was back, didn't have a lot of the ball, but he did kick a goal.
But again, coming back from an ACL, so...
Yeah, of course.
You probably wouldn't expect too much.
He would have been on limited time. Continuing on, the West Coast ball getters, Zane True, who got 26, probably close to getting an AFL berth, Gaff 26, Harley Sparks 25, Clay Hall, who might get a game, 22, but pretty bad. Claremont and East Freo.
Yes, so it was quite a big... Lost 2 for Claremont. It was 45 to 135 versus Sharks. So not ideal there for Claremont. Luke English did get 31 disposals.
Hey!
Good job, Luke.
Why are we clapping?
He's back.
For Luke? Okay, cool. Lachlan Martinez got 30 disposals. Milan Murdoch got 30 disposals too with 1 goal.
Probably was wearing some nice cologne while he did it.
Smelled good while doing it. That was the best smelling 30 disposals possibly ever.
Manuel from Claremont got 2 goals. Love got 1 goal.
The Manuel answer. He's been in good form so far, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he got 2 goals.
Got a few last week.
Yeah. Jay Marsh from the East Ferry Sharks got 7 goals. That is insane.
So that's Jono Marsh.
Jono Marsh.
Former Collingwood and Saint.
Yeah, they really racked up. Jay Hagan got 4 goals. That was good. Yeah. And what about the Royals versus Swans?
Well, we're actually going to get to that a little bit later because I was at that game doing a little bit of my own personal work.
Commentary.
Well, quick recap. Really quick one. Yes, Sally said Hamish Brayshaw was back. Jesse Turner was awesome, and so was Jai Chalcraft. 43 and 37 touches. Hamish Brayshaw got his 32. Stan Wright got 21. Mitch Croden had his 20. And the goal kickers, really, the main one was Thomas Medhat, who kicked a lazy 6. He was actually really awesome. A lot of good marks. Liam Tedesco was really good with 4. Will Reedy and Tom Edwards from the Swans, though, actually did a really good job. Tom Edwards takes some awesome marks, and I think he's going to be really quite exciting to watch. A friend of mine said he played Amos with him for a few weeks once, and apparently he just dominated. I was like, oh, okay, all right, I'll take a look at him when I'm there. And he was genuinely awesome. That 2 goals, 4 probably could have been 5 or 6.
Yeah, wow.
Otherwise, I'll get more into depth later, but who else was really good was Scott Jones, East Perth ruckman. And then I'll go into West Perth and my D's.
They don't
travel well, Perth. They went out to Pentanet and got beaten. Usual suspects. Shane Nelson had 35 for the Falcons. Jack Cooley had 31 for Perth. Constable, get him in my fantasy team, had 30 for the Demons. Connor West, for old West Coast player, 31 for the Falcons. And Jasper Scaife kicked 4. Sasha Kernick kicked 4. That was both for the Falcons. Aaron Clark for Perth, who's kicked a few in both games now, 3. And Tyler Keitel, who Mark Redding said would win the leading goal kicker, he kicked 3. And then Sean.
Yeah, I went to the Subi versus Peel game on Sunday, and it was Ben Soko's 150 game, so shout out there for him. There was Jack Mayo got 3 goals. Ben did get 3 goals as well, and Barlett got 2 goals. And for Peel, Sears got 2, and Trenegza, is that how you say it? He also got 2. It was a bit more of, I would say, the closest game. It was 92 points for the Subi Lions and then 66 for Peel Thunder there.
Perfect. We're going to come back and we're going to go a little more in depth on East Perth Swans as I was there. But before we do that, we're going to get our first player interview of the season. We're very fortunate that it is the one person that you two, targeted on social media. Zach Mainwaring is going to join us.
Good old Zach.
Zach, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Obviously, I feel like we've been coming after you on the socials last week and you've got called out a little bit. The first thing I want to ask is, do you remember this eye contact?
I actually don't. I don't even know where I was looking at, to be honest. But yeah, it hit me with a little bit of surprise when that came out. I got sent it a few times over socials, so yeah.
What was your reaction to this video all about you?
I don't know. I was pretty surprised. I guess I was kind of, I had to watch it a few times to actually see what it was all about. But it was surprising, but I'll take it.
So I was on the field recording on the boundary line, so you don't remember seeing a small person with their iPhone out?
I actually do remember seeing someone with an iPhone out, but I don't remember seeing it at the huddle, so.
Believe it or not, when they're playing a sport game, they're not looking around for who's videoing in the crowd.
They don't care about us.
I did just feel bad, like, videoing you just get tackled.
Okay, that's all right.
Lisa recorded a hardball get.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. You did well. Yeah. You did
okay,
well to
then,
stand up again.
Zach, if you had to rank this as an achievement amongst all your footballs, I think right back to your junior days, where does this sit in the things that you're most proud of?
I reckon it's right up there. It's a pretty good one. it's good. Maybe top 5, I'd say.
Top 5.
Top 5, that's good.
Big claim.
Yeah.
All right, Sean's happy.
Pretty impressed with that one. Thanks, Zach.
Going to some football. So, Zach, obviously not the ideal start to the year for you guys after having a pretty good season last year. Obviously a couple of tough games to start. Are you guys, do you read too much into that, or are you happy just to move on and look to next week?
Obviously it's pretty disappointing how we've been going in the first couple weeks and through the preseason. But yeah, I don't think you can read too much into it. Like, we've had a pretty tough start with some tough opponents. First round, probably pretty unlucky. Probably almost lost the game for ourselves, to be honest. And then, I guess on Saturday against the Sharks, they played a serious brand of footy, and we didn't play nearly as good or to our game styles as we should have. So, I think it's just a kind of wipe it off and reset for South Freo this week, who are a quality opposition as well.
Yes, and do you think you can go back to where you guys were last year?
100%. Like, we've still got the young talent and great coaching staff. So I think, I don't think you can read too much into it. Like, as you saw us last year, like, when we're at our best, it's pretty hard to beat. So I think it's just about getting back to playing our best footy, trusting our process, and I think the wins will come.
Yeah, that's good. And so, Zach, you've been a couple of years now in the league side. Do you feel like for yourself personally, you've sort of consolidated a spot? You're pretty comfortable at that level now?
Yeah, look, I feel like I'm playing some pretty good footy. Last year was a massive bonus to a bit of hard work throughout the off season, but yeah, now I feel like I've stepped up to the level I need to be at, getting a bit more attention, which is something that I'm trying to work through at the moment. But it's good. I'm loving playing at this level and loving playing some solid footy.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, Zach, obviously we put a bit of attention on you, so apologies for that. But can you tell us of like one teammate that you believe makes you a better player?
Oh, I probably could name a few. I guess you got some of the senior heads, like you got the Alex Manuels and Alec Waterman in the forward line who I play with, who are really good for my development. They've been around for a while and know a few tricks and fairly knowledgeable, so they're definitely ones that help me. And then I guess the likes of Jai Bolton and Bailey Rogers, Cal England coming through, like there's a whole heap of boys through there. And then our captain, Deck Mountford, he's always so positive. So look, we got such a good list. I kind of learn off everyone, and I guess we all make each other better.
That's great. Yeah, of course.
Actually, sorry, I want to follow up on something with that. And this is not quite football related, and you don't have to answer this truthfully if you don't want. Would you rather kick 5 goals in a loss and be by far the best player on the ground, or would you rather, you know, have 5 or 6 touches in a good win?
Oh, it's an obvious answer. You always want to win. It's a team sport. It's not about yourself. Like, if the goals come off the back of that, it's a massive bonus. But look, I'd rather have more wins on the board than be, I guess, second last on the ladder at the moment, if that answers your question.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, great sportsmanship. Really love it.
It's a good teammate, that one.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
what you want.
And so now to wrap up, finish with the footy talk. What do you do outside of football? What's your favourite thing to do?
I don't mind getting out on the golf course a little bit with a few mates. That's probably the main thing I do throughout footy season, just an easy one, easy on the body. And we got a fair few boys that play. Otherwise, yeah, I guess kind of have a hit of tennis every now and again, or I don't know, go have a beer with the boys. It's pretty fun.
Golf. Which golf course? Which?
I'm a member at Cottesloe Golf Course. Which is pretty fortunate to be at that course. It's a lovely course.
Beautiful. All right, well, Zach, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your input, and we're hoping that you guys can get on the board and start racking up some wins.
Yeah, good luck for the rest of the season, mate.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Zach.
See ya.
Zach Mainwaring from the Claremont Tigers there, being very generous, giving us his time to be our first player interview of the year. So that was good.
So on Saturday, Dane and our fellow Monday Waffler, Sophie Fenner, went along to Sullivan Logistics Stadium to watch East Perth play Swan Districts. If you head on over to our socials, you'll actually see a very hilarious video of Soph questioning the boys on what their game day rituals are. So we have quite a few interesting ones I think we need a shout out, including Kai Wilcox having a cupcake before each game. Thought that was a bit of a cute touch. Brayshaw, steak and sweet potatoes. Angus Scott was specifically 160 grams of Philadelphia steak and 350 grams of pumpkin. And then Christian Amaduri in his Star Wars socks. So Dane, you were up in a commentary box doing a bit of commentary for an upcoming assignment we have, thanks to Adam Papalia. Can you please give us a bit of a rundown on that game, considering you watched it so closely?
It was a good game, actually. I said last week to Tim and Shah, I said that will be a pretty good game because I think both teams are really good. And it was. There was 19 goals kicked in the first half, and it was pretty back and forth. I think East Perth dominated the first part of it. I think Swans kicked the first goal, East Perth maybe kicked the next 4, and then Swans came back with a couple and East Perth got one back. But the margin always stayed within a couple of goals and teams would come back.
So it was exciting is what I'm hearing.
Very exciting, yeah, and high scoring, which was great. And I think the score doesn't reflect how the game actually went.
No, I was just about to say that, Dane. Doesn't look like that on the scoreboard.
18-11, 119 to 11-16, 82. It was within 5 points at the start of the last quarter and East Perth kicked away in the end. But it was it was actually really exciting for those first three.
Who was the leading goal kicker in the game?
So, as I said before, Tom Medhat from East Perth kicked six, and he was really good. They were kicking it long and high onto his head, and he was just standing under and taking good marks. And Liam Tedesco from the Royals as well was roving and crumbing packs. He was, you know, for he's a bit more of a solid guy, but he moved really well and he was kicking some pretty sick goals. So that was really exciting.
Is that what you're saying?
No, he's in great nick.
Must have done a lot of
beautiful condition.
Eating some steak and potatoes for pre-season.
Yeah.
Getting that
plenty of steak and sweet potatoes, I reckon. But he was good. I commentated one of his goals, which was a lot of fun. Snapped around the corner and it bounced in the goal screen. Good.
Did you show some enthusiasm in that commentary?
I think that might be the only time there was any enthusiasm. I think the rest of the time I was
so
just like...
So Paps would be proud of you.
It's actually really hard.
Oh, commentating is hard.
Yeah, it's hard work. And
I mean, I tried tennis. Could you imagine trying to commentate that at the pace that it goes? Pew, pew, pew.
Well, that's the funny thing. And also, that was 44 names you have to learn with the numbers and what they look like. I know a lot of the Waffle players, I can recognise them, but memorising a whole game worth is quite hard work.
Also, and it's so hard to see the whole pitch, where they are, who it is.
It's hard to pick out.
Considering boys, for the most part, all kind of look the same from a bird's eye view.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing I said to Sophie in the box. I was like, the Swan Districts guys have a lot of dudes that look kind of similar.
And like a lot of brown hair or
something. You'd have to look like not shorter stature, but like slimmer. And they ran sort of like, you know, they ran nicely, but it was hard to tell. And it'd take you a while to sort of work out. So you'd get behind and what was happening. Good experience overall. But a couple other shout outs. Jesse Turner from Swan Districts is unbelievable at football. He gets like 40 touches. He is everywhere.
He's at 43 touches.
Yeah, he's everywhere. And there's a guy, I mentioned him, it's like Thomas Edwards from Swan Districts, takes some seriously good hangs. And he just jumps on people's heads, and he probably should have kicked more goals than his two. And Lee Coleman, who I was excited to see, didn't get as much of it as I would have liked. He kicked six last week for the Swans, only two.
What was the morale and the vibe from the Swans after losing so closely?
They would have been disappointed. It wasn't close in the end. Like, they clearly lost the last quarter by a lot, so they didn't deserve to win, I wouldn't have thought. But at one point in the second quarter, they got up by 15 points, and I was like, oh, here we go. And then East Perth kicked maybe three goals in 3 minutes and took the lead into halftime. Another guy that was actually really good, Jackson McLaughlin from the Swans as well. I enjoyed every time he got the ball because it was quite exciting what he'd do with it.
So Dana's commentary, something that you think is in your future path?
Look, I'd love to do it. It's a lot of fun, but I'm pretty happy not to do it for a while. That was a little bit full on. And it's stressful as well.
We'll leave it up to Paps, hey?
Yeah, well, I'm sure we have some good feedback for this one.
And I went to the Subi and Peel game, like I mentioned previously, yesterday on Sunday. And it was pretty even in the inside 50s and rebound 50s, you can tell with the scoreboard. 46 for both inside 50s for the game and 35 and 32 for rebound 50s. It was a pretty even game, I would say, but Subi were up the whole entire game. But I did, after the game, go and chat to a few of the boys from Subi. Let's hear what Jack Mayo has to say.
Good height difference here. Lovely. All right, so I am here with Jack Mayo, number 10. How does it feel to win the game?
Yeah, it was good. Been a tense week on the track. We didn't play very well last week against Perth, and there's a lot of things we had to clean up, so it was pretty tense this week, and relieving to get a win, actually, I thought.
Can you describe how tense this week was? What do you mean?
I mean, we were just pretty urgent to make sure we were fixing up what we did wrong last week, so we like to think of ourselves as a good club that likes to change those things pretty urgently. You do react pretty harshly on those things, so we did. It was tense, but we got a result. So
you did. You won against Peel too. That's nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we spent a bit of time against them last year, so got our matchups and we know how they play. Of course, there is some inconsistency with who's picked in the AFL team and who isn't, so it's just about adjusting to that, but I thought we handled it well.
Amazing. Well, thanks for that, Jack.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Oh, what a lovely young man Jack Mayo is. He speaks really well.
Not much Mayo in his chatters, though.
No.
He was very straight. I actually enjoyed it. And that's thank good. You, Sally. Can I just say, his voice is very calming.
I agree.
He was, yes.
I felt like I was...
He sounds like a beautiful man.
I did enjoy chatting to him. He was very lovely to chat to pre and post the little interview we had.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I like it. Yeah, so Subi obviously coming out. They lost to the Demons last week, so they're a little bit better this week.
pre-interviewing for a couple of other guys too, yeah, they were really hungry because they were pretty upset about the loss with East Perth. So they were pretty hungry. Sounds like they trained really hard that week and then they got their win.
Yeah, and that's pretty typical of Subi. I think they generally don't lose too many in a row.
Yeah, and Jack did also say that they were changing around positions quite a bit. So he said that he moved more centre forward instead of full half forward.
So, Sian, in the change rooms, what else did you talk about with the Subi boys?
So I tried to ask them a couple of questions about if they reached their 10K steps for the day.
And we've got a couple of clips of that. Should we hear it?
Yeah, let's have a listen.
Jack Mayo, number 10. So like you said, you did a lot of running today. So how does it feel to have reached your 10,000 steps of the day?
I think I was on about 6,000 before the game. So
wow, you really nailed that, didn't you?
Yeah, dog for the walk at the beach this morning. So
how many steps do you reckon you reached then today? Do you have an Apple Watch that tells you?
No, I don't, fortunately. Didn't have the GPS on, so let's guess 20,000.
I'm here with
Drew Road.
How do you feel that you've hit your 10,000 steps for the day?
Yeah. Stoked, tick the box.
Yeah?
Yeah, unreal.
Unreal, yeah. Does that just really make you happy? Your Apple Watch is booming?
Yeah, absolutely. I can eat whatever I want tonight.
Keen, and what's that?
Probably Nando's, to be honest.
Nando's, what's your go-to order?
Classic pitters.
Pitter, does that really fill you up though?
Yeah.
You did a whole game.
Two of them.
Okay. So I'm here today with Greg Clark, number one. Obviously ran around the field quite a bit. How does it feel to have achieved your 10,000 steps for the day?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I didn't have my Garmin on. I didn't know, I can't track it when I'm out there. Yeah, we've got the GPSs in the jumpers, so hopefully I can find out how many steps I did today.
But oh my God.
Hopefully push past the 10,000.
Can you email us how many, can you message us? Sorry, I'm kidding. Don't do that. You can Instagram us at Monday Waffle, Greg Clark.
I'll let you know if we've got 10,000.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So Greg Clark didn't really get back to me in time, which is quite unfortunate. But how did you think of that, guys?
I like the two Nando's pitters. That's my go-to as well.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Dane, how many steps do you think you get in a day on average?
Oh, 50?
50?
50?
Yeah.
50
what?
What
are you doing?
1,000?
What? No, you're joking there, Dane.
Stop pulling my leg, Dane.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really expect you to ask me a question on that. Yeah, if I can hit 10,000 steps, I'm usually pretty happy.
Pretty crazy. Jack Mayer already got 6,000. That's... Not normal for me. I don't know about you guys.
I had something that I found interesting about that, Sian.
Yeah.
You said to Greg Clark, you ran around the field a lot. Now, I don't know if you've seen a game of football before, but it's generally what they do.
Sian, were you a bit starstruck?
I was.
Yeah, you must have been.
I think she was.
I did also, so he looked a little stunned when he saw me because I was like, oh my God, it's Greg Clark. And then I jumped up and down and clapped. So I don't know how he really felt about that.
You have scared. I'm going to start a list.
Yeah,
Zach Mayne wearing last week with the eye contact. Now you're jumping and clapping for Greg Clark. What game are you going to this weekend? Yeah. Can we give him a heads up?
Yeah, we'll give him a warning. Yeah.
So actually going back to Subi, Leaderville Oval and Subi versus West Perth. So
look out, Greg Clark.
Yeah, look out, Greg Clark.
Yeah, and who from West Perth is a chance of getting stuck?
Oh, Connor West. He also used to play for the West Coast. I did also ask Greg Clark some West Coast content, which was unnecessary for Waffle. So
that's okay. On the weekend, I was at the Garden in Leedy and I saw Harley Reid, who must have been fresh off the plane from Gather Round. And obviously he was getting attention and a couple of wines deep. I just decided to go and ask him to be on the Monday Waffle. He said yes. But hindsight, why would he be on the Monday Waffle? He's from Victoria.
Okay. He didn't even play Waffle either.
I know.
Okay, here we go. We'll put a poll on the socials there.
Oh, yes.
Would you like to hear Harley Reid on the podcast at some point? Or would you rather we leave him alone?
Yeah, I think the West has had enough.
I feel like he has copped it, but maybe he's looking for something a little bit
humble.
Different.
Maybe he can, you know, he's also versed a few people maybe from the Western Australia who could be like the Colts coming up. So he might have some knowledge on who could be good for playing Waffle next year.
Yeah, he might have versed some in State 18s, he might.
Yeah, or the debuters. He might be like, you're going to be great.
All right, so we're reflecting on the ladder. post round two, and in the lead we have East Perth with two wins. West Perth also with two wins. Looks like the dividing thing here is there's a difference in their percentage, but I don't really understand, Dane.
Okay, so percentage means essentially their points for divided by their points against. And so if you think of it like in the EPL, they do a goal difference.
Yeah.
So let's say you are in the World Cup. If you win by if you win 3-0, your goal difference is plus 3.
Oh, yes, yes.
So
yes.
You scored 3 more than what you conceded. And if you win, if you draw 1-1 after that, your goal difference is 4 and 1, so 3. Mm-hmm. It's basically the same thing. It's your points for, so East Perth scored 119 on the weekend and whatever last week, plus what they conceded from the other team, pretty much.
Okay, fabulous.
And it's just to divide people who,
yeah,
like teams who are on the same amount,
yeah,
of wins.
Yeah, okay. So that leaves us with East Perth in 1, West Perth at 2, South Fremantle in 3rd, Swan Districts 4th, and Subi 5th. Wooden Spoon this week is West Coast.
Harsh but fair. Something to note is that there are only two teams that haven't won, which is relatively interesting. East Fremantle won a game.
Sorry. You are right, Dane.
So watch out for that, because you can even see, look at their percentage. They've absolutely creamed Claremont on the weekend. I still stand by they'll be really good, but I want to just acknowledge that I said that East Perth would win the flag and then I changed my mind to East Frio, but I'm allowing myself to have both because they were both good predictions. East Perth sitting on top, I said they'd be up there, but I think East Frio, they could verse in the grandy. I wouldn't be surprised because that was my prediction.
I'm still going for West Perth. It'll be an interesting game between West Perth versus Subi, especially as they had a little bit of a comeback this week. So I'm interested in that and I still hold my guns for West Perth.
And considering I don't really know much, but I have had a bit too with East Perth, I'm just going to put them forward.
Lovely.
That's all my right. prediction.
Yeah, good.
Okay, let's wrap
join
this
the,
up.
Join the club. All right, well, we'll look quickly to the weekend then. We've got Peel Thunder playing East Perth at Lane Group Stadium, which is down in Mandurah. Peel, I don't know, I think East Perth are in pretty good form, but Peel, they are a good team. And if, especially if they've got their Freo guys back. I know a lot of them went over for Gather Round, didn't get to play, which probably hurt them on the weekend. But anyhow, they'll get players back. Subi and West Perth, that should be a good game. Both are really good teams. They're at Sullivan Logistics, which of course we know is Leaderville. South Freo and Claremont. If I was you guys, I'd be like, oh, it's the Wooden Spoon. But I'm not. Both, I think South Freo obviously found some form against West Coast. Claremont are a good team who have probably underperformed to start the year, so that will be close. Perth and Swans will be interesting. As I said, Swans are up and about. Even though they lost on the weekend, they looked pretty good for three quarters. And the Demons obviously beating Subi in round one suggests that they are going to be pretty competitive as well. So that's at Mineral Resources.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Waffle Wonderland game.
Ooh.
Maybe we send someone down there to have a look at it.
Yeah, have a DJ, have a boogie.
Oh, I tell you what, the DJ on the weekend, it was shaking the glass the other side of the oval. It's like Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. I was like,
did you have a little dance there, Dane?
Did I have a dance? Yeah. No, I was still stressing from commentary. And then on Sunday at Mineral Resources as well, is West Coast hosting East Freo, and that, no offence, West Coast could be an absolute belting.
And that, my friends, is round two of the Monday Waffle recapped.
Thanks
done.
For tuning in.
Yeah, actually, before we go, I want to shout out someone. I would like to shout out to my good friend, Regan Clark. Congratulations, Regan, on the most beautiful, high-quality 50 league games that I've ever seen play. You inspire me every single day, and I'm hoping that one day you may come on and talk to us on the record.
That was emotional, Dane. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Catch ya.